Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts today. I'm Monica Sandin.
And I'm Rachel Zwell.
Ordinarily, we have Kate Holmquist with us, but she's unable to be with us today. So you have the delightful opportunity to chat with us. We have our topic today is about blind dates, and so we're going to leave that a little bit broad. We have a couple people calling in with different types of questions, so we're really looking forward to jumping into this topic. And Rachel and I were talking about it a little bit beforehand, and just like what our thoughts are on blind dating, what our experiences have been, what this like could really be about. So let's just chat about that to start.
Well, my thoughts are that pretty much every first date I go on is a blind date. The term blind date is like almost before the time of online dating.
Right.
The last time I had dates that weren't mostly blind was, you know, in college when I knew you from this class. At this point, it's like I have very little context for a man before I actually meet him for coffee or a drink or dinner.
Right, exactly. Well, and so many of us nowadays are doing online dating, which, you know, as Rachel and I discussed, is pretty much, blind dating. There are differing levels of that. You know, it's like there's, you know, one level of blind date with a guy that you meet online where you match and literally the only message you send is, hey, glad we matched, want to grab dinner here tonight at blah, blah, blah. And you say, yeah, sure, I'll see you then. And you have no context for who this person is. You haven't gotten to know them whatsoever. You have no, like, just mutual space where you've met each other. And then, you know, and then maybe you'll talk to somebody for several weeks, exchange a lot of messages, and then meet them. But it's still fairly blind. There's still a lot of this, like, figuring out how to get to know somebody, how to really, you know, ask the right questions, how to deal with, you know, like, not liking somebody kind of immediately, and, like, what do you do with that time once you're there?
Yeah, no, totally. One thing that I've noticed is that there are times where I've had, like, great online message chemistry, which has, nothing to do with in-person chemistry, and it goes the opposite way as well. You know, I have basically no idea when I show up on a first date, whether the conversation will flow, whether I'll be attracted to him, whether I'll like the tone of his voice or the manner in which he speaks or anything that seems superficial. But in reality, we make most of our decisions based on these little superficial cues that it takes knowing someone and meeting them in person to actually see that.
So I'm just thinking about, like, I remember when I first started doing online dating, I was out of a couple serious relationships and, you know, just like uncertain, and I had this fantastic string of messages with this guy. And it was like a couple weeks, I think, before we met, and I was sure we were going to have such a good date. I was so excited. I was already planning like several dates ahead and like what we could do in the future, like when we really were together. And I met him in person, and it was just dead. Like, and I can't really explain it. We were able to, and we exchanged a couple messages after the date and went out again, and we still weren't able to develop that chemistry in person that we were able to have not face-to-face. So there is something to the importance of seeing somebody in person, you know, and the fear of, like, what if it doesn't work out? What does that feel like?
Yeah. And, I mean, that said, I totally believe in blind dates. You know, we originally had, we're sort of thinking around, like, oh, why do people feel the need to, you know, play matchmaker? Or, you know, we had some sort of brainstorming around that for this show. But my thought was, that line of questioning doesn't even fit, because I think it's a great idea to set people up with friends. I think it's a great idea to do blind online dating where I haven't really gotten to know people first. And I think, like, not everyone will be a win, but it just seems like the best way to really get to know people in kind of a fast-paced, busy life.
So this is actually a fantastic lead-in to our first caller, John. John is calling in, and he says that he went on a terrible blind date, and he wants to know, what does it say about my relationship with my friend that he would set me up with somebody like this, which is totally a great question. Not at all where I thought this was going to go. So, John, I'd love to hear some more.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm really upset. I don't know where to go with this question. It wasn't just a bad blind date, but now I have all of these emotions about the friend who set me up. said, you know, this friend said, you should go on a date with this guy. He's really great. You'd really hit it off. Just kind of left it at that. So I went, and it was really terrible. We had nothing in common. The person, you know, I suppose that's hard to judge, right? Is somebody going to have, you know, really connect with someone or not? But we just were really off the whole night. And toward the end of the night, I said to the guy, I said, you know, this is a blind date. Is not really meant to be, you know, something where we connected beforehand or, you know, we felt a spark beforehand. I really don't think this is working, so let's just, you know, let's just relax and drop the facade and just be ourselves with each other or just enjoy the rest of the night and maybe just be friends. And the guy said that he agreed, and he made a comment, and he said, you know, your friend said that you were lonely and desperate and that you needed someone to be with. And I probably let pity drive that too much, and so I agreed to go. And I couldn't believe that this person I trust, this person I care for, this person I consider a great friend, considers me lonely and desperate. And I don't know what to go back and say to this person. I don't know. I'm reevaluating the whole friendship. I'm wondering, do I project out that way?
Mm.
And just because I've been alone a long time doesn't mean I'm lonely and desperate. And I don't know. What would you tell me?
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like you're. It would have been probably fine with you to have had a date that didn't go well. It sounds like that's not your concern, and it's really the more intimate relationship with your friend that's concerning given this level of feedback. So I just want to, like, you know, affirm you for calling in, because this is just a challenging and upsetting situation to deal with. And also, I imagine it calls into question, you know, like you were saying, what do you think of yourself? How does that, you know, project out into the world? How are people perceiving you?
Mm, yeah.
And there are just like a lot of kind of like, you know, self-identity questions coming up, which I think is just, you know, great for you to open up with this. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And John, one of the things that I noticed was that, you know, it sounds like on the date you had, you know, not too difficult of a time expressing how you were feeling to you know, the guy you were on the date with. But when it came to, you know, thinking about expressing to your friend and the closer, more intimate relationship there, you know, it sounds like that's more of a challenge for you to tell the truth there. Does that sound right?
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, with this stranger, I felt no investment. I felt like I could be honest. But with this friend, it feels like it's shaking down to the core of what friendship we have, of what that core actually is. And I'm afraid to broach it because I think it's going to end the friendship. Or I'm afraid to broach it because I think it's going to reflect back on me and maybe I'll realize something. Maybe I am lonely and desperate and I project that out and I don't realize it.
I mean, to Monica's point earlier, it's like you just got a piece of feedback about yourself and how you're projecting yourself in the world. I mean, you know, we have here at the Right Foundation, we have a value on telling the truth, even when it can, you know, hurt someone's feelings, or even when it's not something we like to hear. That said, you know, there's a very real piece to look at in that friendship. You know, I wouldn't say something that I wasn't going to say to someone's face behind there. It just sounds like there's a lot of stuff to be worked out in this relationship.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't this person tell me that directly?
Exactly. Yeah. So and I wouldn't say that it says anything bad about your friend as a person, or like necessarily like there's something fundamentally wrong about your relationship, but it does seem like this is a person that you value extremely, who probably really cares about you. Otherwise, this person wouldn't even have made the effort to put this blind date together.
Mm-hmm.
So to come at it from just realizing that both of you are invested in each other, otherwise this wouldn't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to be thinking about it in that way and looking at, so like, what's the next step for you guys? And you know, and Rachel was talking about truths that may, you know, we may not want to hear, and it's possible that in telling a truth you do lose a friendship, but you also get to find yourself and your expression of who you are. You get to look more at your own experience and your anxiety and like what it really means to build a relationship on a foundation of truth and intimacy.
Well, and I wonder, why does this have to be about me? He's sitting over in his relationship. He's been in a relationship for 5 years. They just went through a 5-year anniversary. And then he's coming to me telling me that I'm lonely and desperate or expressing that to someone else. Maybe it's about him and him being smug and conceited and I don't know what else, of projecting out of like being safe and secure in his relationship and that I'm the desperate one.
You know, I think that that's totally possible. And one thing that I'm noticing is like you're having this conversation with us, and it's really great. And I think that this is a good way for you to open up. But right now, you're hypothesizing. You're hypothetically having this argument with your friend. You're hypothetically losing a friendship, and you haven't actually had the interaction yet. So while it's important to be able to think about the future and like not do something like totally wild and like stupid, like not looking and jumping off a building, but I think that there's something really important about your ability to notice what's going on with yourself, what your fears are, what your judgments are, what your upset is with your friend, because your friend may be projecting on you, mm-hmm. and you may be projecting on your friend, and to really use that to have the interaction with your friend, because you may, you learn some cool tips or something from talking to us, and I so appreciate you calling in, but nothing's really going to change if you're not willing to have that conversation with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm sensing I've got a lot of anger, as I said, that I'm really angry about this, and I need to confront him with it. And you guys are coaches, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is this the kind of thing you do with people? Like, what would you tell me as a coach that I need to, just exactly what you told me, that I need to confront him?
Well, I don't know that there is a particular answer, and this is something that we encounter a lot, where people, ask us questions or for advice. It's kind of part of the industry of just looking for what's the thing I should do.
Yeah, what's the solution?
What is the one thing or the four things or the 12-step process that is going to get me what I want? And I think it's important to be looking at the steps that you can take, but I don't think that there's one particular thing for you to do. Now, there are a number of things that you can experiment with.
Mm-hmm.
One of them would be to find somebody that you're close with, whether it is, one of your coaches if you receive coaching, or, a close family member or friend or somebody that you can express, fully express your anger to, who's not going to shut you down or be, it's not the person that you're feeling angry with, so that you can kind of get some of this charge out. It sounds like you're really charged up and you're kind of hooked by something that is upsetting you, and you said yourself you're extremely angry, and there's nothing wrong with that, but your ability to express your anger and get towards the intentional expression of what you need and what you want and what you feel, if you're able to kind of do that messier expression with somebody that you trust, then you may be able to have a more direct and open and intimate conversation with your friend. And so that's one thing that I might suggest.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a useful suggestion. What's going through my head right now is that, for our model here in terms of dating and relationships, just a core facet of it is you can never give somebody more than 50% of the blame,
mm-hmm.
and it's always my job to take 50% of the responsibility. So even, in this conversation, there's a lot of finger pointing.
Yeah.
It's him that's doing this thing. And even though, objectively, I can listen to it and say, well, it doesn't sound like a very, nice thing to do, that's really beside the point. Because the point here is the only thing I can control in my world is myself.
Yeah.
And I can't control what he does or what she does or what other people think about me. But if I look at, how I created the situation, this being, we can see the fact that it sounds like you weren't you weren't comfortable to really bring it to him right away and talk to him about your feelings right away. You know, you've got some responsibility in the fact that he didn't bring it to you, because the relationship is a system.
Yeah.
And you both have a role, and there's, you know, everything has a function. So in order for you to change that system, in order for you and your friend to interact differently, the piece that you need to change is how you're operating in the system. So, I mean, really, that's what I would say is as much as you can express your feelings, because those are totally valuable and worthwhile and really beautiful, regardless of what the feeling is. And then take a look at where you are in the situation, and what you might be able to do to shift it and get a different dynamic in the future. That's where I would really encourage you to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this conversation has been really good. It feels like I have more clarity on what I need to do. I need to go talk to him and tell him what I'm feeling.
Mm. Yeah, great. Well, I love that, John. Thank you so much for calling in. We'd really like to hear how this goes for you, you know, and what some of the next things that are coming up for you are, and would love to support you in that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, John. Well, that's a great question, and I love this concept that dating is kind of a community thing. You know, like whatever my habits are in dating, whatever my mistaken beliefs are, you know, my limiting behavior patterns, just like all the stuff that I do to, like, you know, chop myself off at the knees or, like, not be direct.
Yeah.
It does come from a lot of the ways that I interact with, like, everybody around me. It's a lot bigger than just, like, me and the person sitting across the table from me.
Right. Yeah, it's the way that we look at dating here is, it's, you know, I'm not going on dates to find the one, to sort of live happily ever after and end this whole process, but I'm dating to really be learning more about myself and from, like, all the rich depth of experience that's available to me in relationship with another person.
Well, and we've said this before on the show, but to be the person that you want to date, me becoming the one that I want to date, and yes, it's, you know, like, not to say that there's anything wrong with finding, like, your partner and, like, you know, your life person, but, like, dating is really about becoming who I want to be discovering my potential and pushing myself to really be somebody that I'm proud to spend the night with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a very vulnerable start with John. You know, I'm thinking, that strikes a chord with me. If, you know, that's the last thing I ever want anyone to think is that I'm, you know, that I'm, like, needy or lonely or pathetic or any of those things. So to hear that feedback is, like, it's painful, and it's a beautiful opportunity to really dig in and see what is that, and how can I be more of the person that I want to be, and more of the person that I want to be with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, great.
Yeah.
So we do have a second caller on with us. This caller is Emily. She wants to know, what kind of questions should I ask and what should I share about myself to get to know the important things about my dates? So, Emily, I'd love to hear more about this.
Yeah, hi. We have just been dating the last, you know, mostly been good.
You know, Emily, so sorry to interrupt you. It's a bit hard to hear. Can you try to adjust your phone?
Sure. Is it better?
It's still a bit crackly.
But give it a try.
Okay. So I have been on dates, and there's actually... Okay, is this better?
It sounds like it. Why don't you keep going?
Okay. Well, so I've just been going on dates for the last, you know, couple months, and, you know, things will go well, and then it seems like we have this moment where it's like everything has gone totally wrong, and, you know, it's like 100% unpredictable, and then things just kind of sizzle out after that. So I'm just wondering, you know, how I can avoid those kinds of moments. And I think it is about, you know, sort of asking, like, you know, better questions and then sharing different things about myself. I'm just wondering what you all think and what your perspective
well,
is.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I'm thinking, Emily, is I heard you say something like it all becomes unpredictable and then it falls apart. And so I'm wondering what your relationship is with unpredictability and chaos and uncertainty, because, I mean, I think we believe here that there is no certainty really in anything, and like how that comes out in dating and your experience of it is really important. So, like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I think, yeah, I'm not sure that I have a great relationship with uncertainty and unpredictability. And I think I have, yeah, probably even a more difficult time with, like, just, you know, sort of not having control or knowing where things are going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd love to hear, Emily, what it, like, what, you know, you said everything goes wrong at a certain point. What is that? What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about this moment that I actually just had recently, and I, you know, it was, like, basically like a, you know, from my perspective, it was miscommunication. And basically it was a situation in which the person that I was dating ended up waiting for me for like 40 minutes. And, you know, we had been somewhat, you know, loose about time, you know, for the last, I don't know, 5 weeks that we've been dating. And for whatever reason, this moment was different. And so that to me felt like, you know, when we finally like met up, it was like they were already angry and, you know, sort of like cut me off in the moment. And so that to me felt like, you know, it all just, you know, I never would have predicted that given the last 5 weeks and how we sort of treated time and,
I mean, it sounds like you're dating these people where, like, at the beginning you think that you have particular agreements and particular understandings of things and, like, you all, that you're clear on your expectations, and then all of a sudden you realize that you're not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what I'm getting, Emily, is that when the situation, you know, fell apart and it became something that was impossible to recover to, the reality is he was angry.
Right. Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I thought it was okay. I thought that you know, I think he had a right to be angry, and I'm okay with that. And I addressed that, but I guess the other part of it is that, you know, I didn't like that we couldn't have a conversation about his anger, right? And then also have a very straightforward conversation about, okay, well, you know, even though you've been okay with this in other situations, or, you know, the way that we've treated time has been more flexible than this one moment, you know, what do we want to do moving forward? That to me, that we couldn't have that conversation was really difficult for me.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds to me, Well, I mean, I totally believe that he was probably angry, but one of the things that we understand here about anger is that it's often preceded by fear or hurt. And my guess is, and you may or may not be able to check this out with him, but my guess is that he probably felt hurt, that, you know, your being late may have sent him a signal that he didn't matter to you or that his time wasn't valuable to you. And who knows, like, what exactly it was, but and then your, I would guess that your insistence that, you know, you were never upset about something like this before, why does it matter now, may have felt more invalidating. And then you might have felt hurt that suddenly it's a problem and this is something that, like, that this is a way that you are. So I think that there's actually a lot of hurt going on with these, you know, moments of tremendous upset where suddenly things are, like, irreconcilable or unsolvable. I imagine that there's hurt going on between you and whoever you're dating that isn't being expressed. That were it to be expressed, you know, were you to take the risk to you know, explore that, that maybe something different would happen. What does that sound like?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he definitely was, you know, felt hurt and, he didn't matter. I mean, you know, the guy waited 40 minutes for me, you know, and I sort of just strolled up like, hey, let's get coffee. We've had conversations since then. The conversations afterwards, you know, I don't think that there was any more hurt done in the conversations. So, like, I didn't say, oh, well, why did this moment matter and the other five didn't? You know, I didn't say that. But, I think he does feel hurt and felt hurt in that moment. Go ahead.
I love this. I love this inquiry. And Emily, what I'm really interested in here we were just telling John, I don't know if you heard, about how, you know, in relationships, in conflict, the piece that we have control over is ourself. And I'm just noticing that to you, it sounds like, you know, things were going well, as you said, and then you hit a conflict, a road bump. Mm-hmm. And your analysis of the situation was that this was something that was, like, very difficult or impossible to recover from.
And that something's wrong,
yeah, rather than, mm-hmm. you know, oh, good. What an opportunity, mm-hmm. and we got to the real stuff.
Yeah.
Because if I'm just mm-hmm. looking for a relationship to go well, I will never make it past 5 dates. That's my number. That's my experience. It's 5 mm-hmm. dates for me before I generally hit conflict. And if I see the first conflict as a sign that, you know, something's wrong, something's not right, and I can't recover from it, I'm never going to get past 5 dates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, yes. I guess the thing that, like, was really hurtful to me was just that, like, it, you know, it felt like he, like, you know, kind of, like, stunned me for a few days.
Yeah.
Which is why I felt like, okay, wait, this, you know, it's sort of like, you can't recover it. But then that leads me to my next question. And I think, you know, one of you said this earlier, it's like, you know, sort of risking earlier and saying, you know, I think, you know, what am I sharing about myself? You know, am I sharing, like, the meaningful things? And then also, am I really truly affirming the things that I really appreciate about him? And so that also becomes, you know, sort of part of our understanding of the relationship.
Yeah. Well, and also just, so I'm going back to your original question about, like, what questions to ask and, like, what particularly should I share. I mean, it just sounds like that is coming from a point of view of trying to avoid the hurt in the long run, or trying to avoid the conflict. And, like, what Rachel was saying later, that, like, the hurt and the conflict is where you get more intimate. And for you to go into situations, we're human. We're going to get hurt. Somebody may do something really mean and hurt us, or it may be like nothing at all and we feel hurt. So there's kind of no way to actually avoid it. And for you to be willing to go into the messiness of, you know, telling the truth and figuring each other out and realizing, like, oh, shit, I didn't tell the truth 5 dates ago, or, like, oh, my God, I never mm-hmm. asked that question that occurred to me on our first date, to, like, you know, to be willing at that point to be like, okay, so what now, instead of taking it as a sign that something's bad and hoping to avoid the bad from the first date. I think there's just, like, a lot of adventure for you in it.
Yeah, I love that. And on that note, I'd like to invite you to join me in my little dating assignment that I'm giving myself here, which is to bring about those disagreements and that conflict earlier. Because my tendency has been, you know, I'm with you, Emily, my tendency is to, you know, to want it to go smoothly for a period of time and to avoid that uncomfortable place. But what I'm finding is, you know, that pattern hasn't really worked for me, because I've had a lot of, you know, a lot of superficial things that last about 5 dates and not much longer. So I'm looking to really dig in, and when I see that, you know, that conflict, to tease it out earlier. And I'd love to have you join me in that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I will. And that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, let's just have a conflict out early. And I do see the ways in which I was trying to avoid it in my earlier line of questioning. Yeah, but it's true. It is. Now that we actually have sort of, we're now back in conversation, it actually is really nice because things are opening up and there's, more vulnerabilities. So I do feel like the bond is getting stronger, which is nice.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear it, Emily. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I'd love to hear more. Please call in again, and check in on what this has been like for you and how your assignment's going.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Well, that's just great. I'm also thinking, just about people's belief in their own robusticity, this fear that, if I have conflict, if I go on a bad date, if I tell somebody what I don't like about them, that I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah.
There is this sense of, you start to sweat and your breathing gets really shallow and your face gets red, and there's just this anticipation of this incredible amount of pain of being, rejected or saying something totally stupid that I think is, once you move past it, it's actually usually not – People die from telling the truth.
Well, I mean, the research shows that we perceive social pain the same way that we perceive physical pain. It's in our bodies, in our brains, the signals are the same.
Yeah.
So if I, if I fall down and scrape my knee, I'm going to feel the same pain if I'm, being rejected or a similar kind of pain. And if you think about it that way, I imagine being a little kid going to the doctor and the fear I have of getting that shot is not that different than the fear I have of going into a situation where I know I'm going to tell a truth that, may hurt someone else, and that sort of social pain of that interaction, or the fear of awkwardness, or the fear of public speaking. It's all tied in there together.
Yeah. Well, the anticipation is horrifying, and the actual doing of it gets to learn a lot.
So yeah.
I just think that this has been such a fantastic line of questioning. I love our callers for calling in and being so vulnerable, because this is a really vulnerable thing. I mean, talking about dating with strangers when people are listening to you is vulnerable, and this is the place where we grow. This is, such a great opportunity for all of us to really push past our barriers and to, do things differently. So I really encourage all of you who've been listening to call in, ask us questions. We'd love to talk with you and coach you a little bit on dating and kind of share what we're learning.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you.
So thank you for joining us today on Bring Out Your Best. Please join us tomorrow evening for a personality styles workshop that we're actually doing in person at our location in Streeterville at 445 East Ohio. We'd love to have you come. It's a great opportunity for you to learn about your main personality styles, how you interact with other personality styles, where the conflict might be, how to really resolve it and work it through, and how to create really fantastic, robust relationships.
Mm.
You can buy tickets in advance at rightliving.com/emotional-intelligent-leader, or you can just show up at the door and buy some tickets then. So hope to see you, and please tune in another 2 weeks when we do another show.